Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We are in the middle of a practical series of studies, the least of these, that's taken from the words of Jesus, ministering to those in need. Today, the cry of the prophets, not cry as in tears, though they might shed tears at times, but the message that they proclaimed, particularly as it relates to caring for the poor and the oppressed. I'm praying that we'll have a life-changing message for our lives today, and I'm glad you joined us for Hope Sabbath School. What's the most important lesson, team, that we've learned so far in this series? What would you say?
You have to care for people.
You have to care for people, all right? Why?
Because God cares
for people. If we're followers of God, if we're followers of His Son, we will actually automatically, could I claim if we're not caring for people, there's something wrong with this connection?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're talking about some very practical issues here on Hope Sabbath School. And again, we're not trying to earn God's love. He already loves us. But Lord, let this connection with you be so powerful that I'll truly care about those around me, minister to those in need, even the least of these. Well, here's a few emails. I'm just so glad you write to us, sshope@hopetv.org. Doesn't that encourage you when you get these emails? Yeah. I just use my favorite Hebrew word, hallelujah. Here's one from Texas. Lori writes, and she says, thank you for Hope Sabbath School. My husband and I are blessed every time we watch it. May God richly bless this ministry. I love to hear the Word of God discussed in this way. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
I got an email from someone. She said, I went to church every week, and then I finally realized what I was missing, the Word of God.
Wow.
That's what Hope Sabbath School is all about. Now, we do have one here from, Weyburn. Weyburn, they said, is either Canada, that's your territory, right?
Yeah.
Addison, or Weyburn, California. So I don't know. But Nadine Rice says, you'll have to tell us which one it was. I just started watching Hope Sabbath School. I used to live near my children and grandchildren, but now I live far away in a more isolated area. Could be Canada, right?
Could be Canada, yeah.
Hope Sabbath School is a light and encouragement for me.
Amen. Amen.
That's awesome, isn't it? Thank you. Please pray for my four children and their spouses, my five grandchildren who do not know God. Also pray for my husband. We just got married 2 years ago. We all need Jesus very much. Well, Nadine, thanks for writing to us. We're guessing you're from Canada. And we're glad that you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. And we will pray for your children and grandchildren. And you know, we all need to know God more fully, don't we?
Amen.
Let's pray for each other. Here's a note from Winston in Trinidad and Tobago. Winston, thanks for writing. Blessings to your entire team, he writes. Such an honor to be able to greet you in the name of Jesus. I've been using your program to assist with my own Bible study for years now and hope to be blessed enough someday to be a donor.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I myself have a few hurdles to overcome. If I must say, I must compliment whoever launders and irons your shirts. You are looking at the person who launders and irons your shirts. That was an arrangement my wife and I made when we got married, by the way. I have a military background, and this is standard for something we admire. Well, thank you for admiring my shirt. All the way from Trinidad and Tobago in the Caribbean. God bless you, Winston. I never thought, Nicole, someone would comment on my shirt. Maybe it would be worse if they commented on someone needing to iron my shirt.
There you go.
Here's a note that caught me by surprise. Here's a note from a donor in Illinois, actually a couple in Illinois. Enclosed, find a donation to help Hope Sabbath School tell the world about Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
That's what we're about. Yeah. We're so glad to have connected with you for all of your encouragement you have sent our way and a gift for $1,000.
Amen.
Well, I just want to say we are all part of a great miracle of God, and we thank you so much, our friends there in Illinois. Here's one last note from a pastor, Pastor Jared, in Australia. And Pastor Jared writes and says, I was seeing an Indian doctor yesterday about a health issue. She asked who I work for. I said, I'm a pastor of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I asked her if she'd ever heard of our church. She replied that she was not a Christian, but asked me if I knew about Hope Sabbath School.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
He said he didn't know me personally, but he knew who I was. She replied that she watches Hope Sabbath School all the time.
Wow.
And really likes it because it helps her. Now, did you get this? This is a doctor from India, right? Not a Christian. It helps her to understand the Bible.
Oh, wow.
Amen. Someone ought to say,
Amen. Hallelujah.
I think I need to get sick a few more times so I can help catching up with her on the Bible. Oh, thank you so much for writing to us, Pastor Jared. You know, it really does bring joy to get these emails, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yes.
And if you've not written to us recently, just send us an email, sshope@hopetv.org. Tell us how the Word of God is impacting your life. Or maybe you've started your own in-depth interactive Bible study group. Maybe you use the same outline that we use in our class, and you say, oh, I go to the website and I download it, and it helps me in my study. Here's mine. You can download the same one and start an in-depth interactive study in your area. You can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopess, and download that outline. Right now, though, we're going to sing our theme song. It's a simple song, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Word for word from 2 Thessalonians 3, mm-hmm. verse 5 and 16. Join with us. Let's sing together.
Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. And may the Lord direct your hearts into the patience of Christ. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much even for this beautiful scripture song. And we do pray that you would direct our hearts into the love of God.
Amen.
That's really the cry of the prophets, that we might have the heart of God, that we might care for the poor and the oppressed, and we might care for justice and righteousness. I pray as we study about the cry of the prophets today, that your Holy Spirit, who inspired the prophets, would speak to our hearts again. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, when we think of the cry of the prophets, and you think of the prophets of the Bible, people maybe have heard of that. This is prophet, not like profit and loss, right? But PH in the middle, prophet. What is a prophet? Give me a simple definition. Anybody?
A messenger of God.
A messenger of God, okay. Sometimes when we think of a prophecy, we think of
prediction
about the future. But a messenger of God could also tell you about the past. Think of a prophet who told about things that happened in the past. Moses, right?
Moses. Yeah.
I mean, he talked about in the beginning God created, right? Might also talk about things happening
right now,
as well as things that might happen in the future, right?
Yes.
There's a very concise text that Peter, who was a prophet of God, wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1. I'd like to begin our study there, Stephanie. 2 Peter, if you would, chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. Then we're going to talk about the message of the prophets calling people to care about those in need and to care about the heart of God. And then we'll look at some specific prophets in our study today. But first, how does the Apostle Peter define a prophet?
All right. And the King James Version says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, Whereunto ye do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So what important descriptions do you have in that passage about a prophet?
Well,
Gary?
That it leads you to Jesus Christ.
Okay.
It says the day dawn
until the morning star. Till that morning star rises in your heart. So the purpose of prophecy is to lead us in God's plan towards the day when we'll meet our Savior face to face. Anybody else? Addison?
Their message from God is inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the Holy Spirit specifically, now that we'll talk about different ways, dreams, visions, maybe even an angel coming and appearing, or God speaking directly, lots of different delivery, but the Holy Spirit is bringing a special message. What else did you learn? Yes.
It's not in secret.
It's
not a secret. It's not based on me interpreting myself.
Okay, yeah, it's not a private thing, right? Okay, so it's probably a message that's intended for more than one person, too.
They were holy men.
They were holy. Thank you. I'm glad you pointed that out.
Which doesn't mean perfect, but the message and their lives were a reflection of the message that they were talking about.
So we should be able to see in the life of a prophet a woman or man who's walking close to God.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Right. Yes.
So let's scan now the Bible. You've read through the Bible different times, different places, or if not, we've been studying about some of the prophets on Hope Sabbath School. Name some of the great prophets who are recorded in Scripture. Just one each. Let's start, Stephanie.
Elijah,
great prophet, confronted the priests of Baal, right?
Yeah.
Yes, Edison?
I think of the prophet Daniel.
Daniel, we all like Daniel, right? Daniel and the
Lion's
Den was a story some of us heard growing up. But he was a man who honored God, a prisoner of war, right? Great prophet of God, Evelyn.
Isaiah
the prophet. You know he's also called the gospel prophet because he has many prophecies about Messiah. All right, 8th century B.C. Nicole?
John the Baptist
is my favorite prophet. And actually, I've got good company because Jesus said no greater prophet.
Mm-hmm.
John the Baptist, who died at what age? How old was he when he died? Early 30s. Anyone here in your early 30s? Early 30s? Gary, early 30s? Yeah, so you see how much he counted for the kingdom in that short life, right?
Yeah.
Early 30s. Yeah. Some of you say, I wish I was. All right. It's all good. Another prophet. There are lots of great prophets, Andre.
Nathan.
Nathan the prophet. By the way, some of these prophets, like Elijah, they never wrote a book of the Bible. Nathan didn't write a book of the Bible. Where was he? Nathan the prophet was during the time of?
King David.
Mm-hmm.
King David. And actually, he was the prophet who had something to say to David, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're the man. Wow. Talking about his sin. Praise God, David didn't hang himself, but had this beautiful scripture song, remember? Yeah. Creating me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit. Anyone else a great prophet of God? Yes, Haiti.
Jeremiah.
We're going to actually think about Jeremiah in a verse coming up here. Easy work.
No.
He was the weeping prophet.
He was one of the prophets, wasn't he, that was told not to get married?
Yes.
Okay. Now you have another prophet, Hosea, is told to marry a wanton woman. I'm not sure which was worse. Which is harder? Let's not get stuck on that. But would you agree with me that being a prophet is not an easy assignment?
No.
But it is a sacred task, isn't it? And we're going to take a look as we continue here. Some of the important insights regarding the prophets, and I want to ask why they cared about the poor and oppressed. But first, two verses. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9, and then Evelyn, I'm going to have you look in Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. Just a couple of insights about the prophets.
Jeremiah 1, verse 9. This is from the New King James Version. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth.
That's quite startling, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Here, at least, he's saying, I'm giving you some specific words that I want you to say. Mm. All right? Amos chapter 3, Evelyn, and verse 7.
Yes, I will be reading from the New King James Version. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets.
Mm-hmm. Now, I feel impressed to just remind you that it wasn't always putting the words in the mouth that directly. For example, Dr. Luke, who wrote the third gospel, he says, I investigated everything carefully. Mm-hmm. We believe guided by the Holy Spirit from the text that you read in 2 Peter. But he talked to all of the eyewitnesses to put together what he called a perfect account for his friend Theophilus. Remember that? Yeah. So there are different ways. And then Daniel, of course, he had a lot of visions, didn't he? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which he wrote down. The Holy Spirit guided him in recording them. But in all of them, someone back here said the Holy Spirit was involved, right? Mm-hmm. I think as he made that comment earlier. So that's really important to know. And God, why would God want to reveal his secrets to his servants, the prophets, as we read in Amos? Why would he want to do that? Lisa?
Well, he wants to prepare his people for what he's about to do so they're not surprised, but that they're expecting God to do, whether it's judgment or whether it's blessing, that their hearts are prepared.
Okay. Anyone want to add to that? He wants them to be prepared. Why else would he reveal his secrets through his servants, the prophets? Thomas?
He cares about us.
That's right. He's communicating with us, right? And of course, he doesn't want the prophet to keep it to herself or to himself. He wants them to share it with their community, right? Yeah. And sometimes even to write it down so that it would be available to us by the preservation of the Holy Spirit of God. So since we're focusing in this series on caring for those in need, and we're going to highlight where the prophets are speaking, not so much about the kingdoms and the coming of Jesus, which is all important, but about caring for those in need, why do you think the prophets speak so much about caring for the least of these and for the oppressed? Why do you think they spend so much time on that, John?
I believe that they knew that that's what moved the heart of God.
They're just reflecting what God has shared with them, right? It's important to God. And so the prophet emphasizes that message too. How were they treated, these prophets?
Terribly.
Were some of them treated with great honor? Mm-hmm. Can't think of many.
Samuel.
Great
honor. Prophet Samuel was treated, I believe.
Prophet Samuel was treated with reasonable honor. Thank you. So there's no guarantee that it will be good or bad. Other prophets? Moses? Sometimes they wanted to kill him, didn't they?
Yes.
Andre?
Oftentimes they were mocked.
I've got a few texts here which might give us some indication. Let's look in Jeremiah 38 and verse 6. And then we'll go to what Jesus says about at least how most of the prophets were treated. Jeremiah 38, John, verse 6, if you'd read that for us.
And in the New King James Version, it says, so they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the king's son, which was in the court of the prison. And they let Jeremiah down with ropes. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sank in the mire.
I see your face.
Yuck.
that kind of reminds you of the way that Paul and Silas were treated when they were flogged and then put in the inner dungeon. Because they were also prophets of God, right? What does Jesus say in Matthew 23, verses 29 and 30? He's speaking about how the prophets were treated. Though I am thankful, Evelyn, for your insight about Samuel, because in general, I think he was treated reasonably well. But what does Jesus say, Matthew 23, Addison, verses 29 and 30?
And I'm reading from the King James Version. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets.
Unfortunately, they're saying our ancestors killed them, but we wouldn't have done it. But who is the greatest prophet of all?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist.
Jesus.
Fair question. Jesus said John was the greatest. John would have been the quick to say, well, Jesus. Yeah. You know, because you were the incarnate Son of God. Let's see John 1, Patricia. John chapter 1, verse 11, what it tells us about how they, in general, how people treated Jesus. John 1 and verse 11.
I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him.
Mm-hmm. They ignored him, or worse. Right. Later they'll kill him. Yes. So Jesus understood the way that the other prophets had been treated, right? Before we look at some of the prophets, why do you think they were often ignored or mistreated? Yes, Andre.
Because they did not have a popular message many times.
Right.
Why didn't they have a popular message? Heidi?
Because of their own actions. They continued to live in disobedience to God.
And so God, because he loves us and wants to communicate with us, says this is destructive behavior. Yes. I'm going to send a prophet to...
Correct.
Warn you.
Correction, yeah.
And... appeal to you while there's still time to move in another direction. Yeah. And it wasn't a popular message, was it?
Right.
Either we'd ignore them or worse. Well, let's look at a few of the prophets. We can't look at all of them. We're going to start with the prophet Amos. He was in the 8th century BC, a prophet to Israel. Does anybody know what his occupation was? Amos. Well, if you're not sure,
a sheep herder.
Okay, that's interesting. You think of a great prophet like Moses. What was his training?
His prince.
Military training and all of the wisdom of Egypt. Saul of Tarsus became Paul. What was his training?
Tent maker.
Well, he was tent maker by trade, but. He studied at the feet of one of the most distinguished rabbis, right? Gamaliel. So what does that tell us? Sheep herder. Elijah, by the way, what was his profession before he showed up? The answer is, we have no idea. I don't think, do we? He just showed up. Thomas?
It seems like a lot of these prophets spent time in nature. And I think that that must say something about how it, like when Moses, after he was kicked out, he spent time in the desert.
40 years, right?
Yeah. And I think that's probably part of their training that helped them to see the world in a different way.
Well, certainly Amos was one of those. I think the lesson I'm hearing is that God can call men or women
from anywhere.
If they're willing,
right?
If they're willing. So let's take a look at Amos. Can you find that little book of Amos there in the Old Testament? And let's go to Amos chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. Tigis, looks like you have it. Would you read Amos 7, 14 and 15 for us?
And I'll be reading from the New International Version. Amos answered Amaziah, I was neither a prophet nor the son of prophet, but I was a shepherd, and I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel.
So I have a question for you, Nicole. What if Amos had said, I'd rather not do that. I'd rather just care for my sycamore trees and my flocks. Would God still have loved him?
Yes. He loves us all.
So, of course, this is pre coming of the Messiah. Let's say it's New Testament. Would Jesus still have saved him?
Yes.
If he still fights.
If he's willing,
and
though.
We saw a prophet do that already with Jonah.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So God didn't give up on Jonah. Of course, he came back and said, I told you to do that before. But so this is not that he's going to reject us forever. But what would have been the great loss if Amos had said, Jonah, I think I'm going to stay with my sycamore trees and my sheep?
There's something dangerous when you don't go with God's will for your life. And I think there would have been regret later.
He might have looked back and said, okay, they might reject me. They might even persecute me. But what a great honor to speak for God,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's look at one of the messages he brings, still in this little book of Amos. Mm-hmm. Gary, if you could read chapter 3 of Amos, verses 9 through 11.
Okay.
Amos 3, verses 9 through 11.
Okay, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Amos 3, 9 to 11. Proclaim in the palaces at Ashdod, and in the palaces in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble on the mountains of Samaria, see great tumults in her midst, and the oppressed within her. For they do not know to do right, says the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, an adversary shall be all around the land. He shall sap your strength from you, and your palaces shall be plundered.
What role of a prophet is he fulfilling here?
Prophecy.
What's that?
Prophecy.
Yeah.
Well, he's saying something that's going to happen to them, a prediction.
A prediction, that's right. He's saying, this is what's going to happen because of the way you are. Yeah. Things are going to be, what was the wording there, plundered.
Mm-hmm.
Your palaces will be plundered. But we're also, because of the focus of this series on caring for the least of these, right. We want to hear some of the social evils that they pointed out and the rebukes that they gave. And Andre, if you could look in Amos 4, verses 1 and 2, and then Nicole, if you could read on in chapter 8, verses 4 through 6. Now, please don't think we're just saying, oh, they're all bad back there and we're perfect. We may hear some of this and say, we need to hear that word of the prophet today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's look in Amos 4, verses 1 and 2.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It says, hear this word, you cows of Bashan, who are on the mountain of Samaria, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to your husbands, bring wine, let us drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness, behold, the days shall come upon you when he will take you away with fishhooks and your posterity with fishhooks.
Mm. Oh, Addison, I saw your face there when they're called with cows and fishhooks. And why do you think... Amos, I mean, he wasn't a fisherman, he was a shepherd. Why do you think he uses such strong language?
Well, it's a call to repentance. And pretty much saying that if there is no turn in their behavior, if there's no U-turn and they don't return to God, that there will be a judgment. There is consequences to our course of action.
We wish we had a video. You know, because the way of his face, or whether he had tears in his eyes and compassion in his heart. But it sure sounds like, what do I have to do to catch your attention, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Courageous, would you say? Mm. Courageous?
Yeah.
Bold.
Let's see how he speaks, Nicole, in chapter 8 of his book, verses 4 through 6.
The New King James Version says, hear this, you who swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land fail, saying, when will the new moon be passed, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, that we may trade wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel large, falsifying the scales by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, even sell the bad wheat?
There's a little clue as to why they're so harsh. Did you see anything in the passage?
Yes.
What did you see, Haiti?
I saw that they're looking forward to the Sabbath ending so that they can go and trade. And if you don't care about the Sabbath, you don't care about God.
So it's they may be very strict with their religious observance.
Rituals.
But they totally misunderstood, right? The Sabbath is a time to rest in our relationship with God. And yet, how are they treating their fellow people, right? Tigist?
This place where it says they're skimping the measure, boosting price, and cheating with dishonest scale. As they're very crafty. Hmm. They just want to make the best out of squeeze how
not
much
the best,
they want.
I mean, the most.
The most they
right?
could have. And it's just so dishonest, and I can't even describe it.
Yeah. What's tragic, at least if I'm not reading too much there, is that these are religious people.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Sabbath, yeah.
They have, to quote the New Testament, a form Of godliness. But they deny the power. Because the power would not have them acting like that, right?
Right. Right.
So let's see how an appeal is made to these people through the prophet in chapter 5. Thomas, if you could find Amos chapter 5 and look at verses 21 through 24.
Okay. This is from the New King James Version. I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. But let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream.
Don't you love that last verse? That sounds like some great reformers, doesn't it? Justice like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. Does it startle you? I come to your comment, Andre. This is the Lord speaking, by the way, not Amos. I despise your feast days. Andre?
I just thought contemporary for a moment there that, you know, oftentimes in our religious settings, we have that form and we get it down packed. And so we sing our songs and we do all these various things, but do we really connect with the people and help them and perfect that?
So I know some people think God hates people. I don't believe that. I believe he loves all of his children.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What does he hate?
The sin. The actions. Mm-hmm.
He hates
the oppression.
The oppression. He hates
the neglect,
hypocrisy.
The hypocrisy.
Injustice.
He hates the injustice. You see, we're not naming people. We're naming behaviors and systems, right? He's in another place, he says, it makes me want to vomit. You know, it's very strong language. And yet we need to keep in mind that if he didn't love them, he wouldn't send the prophet. Because the prophet is to call them to do what?
Repent.
To repent. And to turn from the evil ways. Now, I want to apply this now. People say, Derek, that is like 2,700 years ago. What in the world does that have to do with me? I want to ask a question. Has God ever delivered a harsh message to you in order to catch your attention?
Yes.
Anybody have a testimony about that? It's like, oh, okay, harsh message in order to catch your attention. Let's start in the front. Haiti?
I have something simple. My family has had to move a lot. And one time when we moved, we went from, I guess, a nicer area to a not so nice area and a much smaller, simpler house. And when I went, I started to complain a lot. And I would complain to my family. I wouldn't complain to anybody else, but to my family I would. And to God, I talked to him about everything, good or bad, because he already knows. And a few weeks went by, and one day when I was praying, I felt that God said, none of that, enough. He was like, I don't want to hear it. He flat out told me that. And then he said, don't focus on what you don't have. Focus on what you do have. Mm. And that was like a slap in the face for me spiritually.
Was it a kind and loving slap in the face? It caught your attention, didn't it?
It did. It did, because I thought I can just talk to him about anything and I can complain and he's never going to get upset with me. But he did. And it changed, you know, it made me say, I had an opportunity at that time to say, do I continue or do I do what he said? Which obviously I want to do what he says. So I changed and I started to focus on, well, thank God I have health. I have this. I have that. Ooh. I have my family. And it completely changed my attitude.
So thank God for what you do have.
Yes.
That's interesting. Yes. My wife also told me to thank God for what you don't have. You could have cancer. You could have children in jail. You
Homelessness.
Could have. There's a lot of things you could have. You can thank God for it too. But that was interesting. Caught your attention. Someone else. Thomas.
Yeah, when I was younger, I used to do a lot of stuff for church. I would be involved in leadership, lead out in the Friday night programs. And one morning, rather than my alarm clock going off in the normal way, the radio came on. And over the static, I heard this voice that said, are you faking your walk with God? And then I hit the alarm and turned it off and then went back to static. And then I realized, wait, was that was that a message to me? Was God asking me, am I faking my walk with God? And that haunted me for like the next week. And I realized, you know, maybe God is telling me that you could do a lot of things in church and look really good on the outside, but be fake on the inside.
Right.
And that's really motivated me to try and really align what's going on the inside and the outside.
And here you are in Hope Sabbath School, right?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, tells us that God uses imperfect people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But He loves us. He wants to catch our attention. One more. Someone just, God caught my attention, Nicole.
Well, when I was in college, I actually strayed away from church and church activities. And when I returned to Maryland a number of years ago, I ran into an old friend from college. And she said to me in church, I wish I had known you were Adventist because I could have started my walk a lot earlier. And it really hit me that I was living a life one way, but I was saying something in private. And so it really got me to realize I got to live the way that I'm actually professing to be.
Sometimes God can send a person to give a prophetic message to us, right? They may not be a full-time prophet, but they may speak a word to us from God. Well, let's take a look at another prophet, Micah. Now, the main thing I know about Micah is a wonderful thing about he's shown you, oh man, what is good. We'll come to that a little later. But Micah, he also rebuked what's the word I want to use? A loveless attitude. All right? I don't care about you. I'm not going to do anything to help you, which is directly contrary to Jesus saying, care for the least of these. Let's look at what Micah says in Micah chapter 3. And Evelyn, do you have Micah chapter 3?
Yes.
Verses 9 through 12. And let's remember again, this is sent from a God who loves us and is trying to catch our attention.
Yes, Micah chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Now hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who build up Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with iniquity. Her heads judge for a bribe, her priests teach for pay, and her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No harm can come upon us. Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be plowed like a field. Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountains of the temple like the bare hills of the forest.
Again, why is there such intensity in the message that Micah is giving? Why is it so intense? What do you think? Haiti and then Andre?
Well, I'm sorry. I see here that even the leaders have gone astray.
Yes.
If the leaders have gone astray, then all the nation is going to go astray.
By the way, I think there were times in the history of the church, maybe even now, when priests taught for pay and prophets divine for money and heads judge for a bribe. You know, this is not just something that happened in the time of the 8th century B.C. What do you hear will happen if we just let that go on?
We'll end up driving ourselves into a cul-de-sac. I mean, you can't sustain with this kind of leadership. That's off base, off task.
Jerusalem will become a heap of ruins.
Devastation,
And the temple will be bare.
Yeah.
Gary?
Yeah. I mean, it's just striking. It's the leaders of God's people. And there are so many promises that God has made for us, and especially for our leaders and those in power. But we have all these precious promises. And he's like, look, where you're going, you're not going to receive anything. I promised you. So come back. You don't want what you're going to get.
So I don't think we can say this is not my problem. You know, sometimes you said we're in a nice house, in a nice neighborhood, and it's easy to say the oppression of the poor or religious hypocrisy or whatever is not my problem, unless God says to us, but it is your problem because it's going to hurt all of my people, right? John?
And I think what's really rubbing the prophet is that while they're living like this, they say, is not the Lord among us?
Yes.
So they still claim to have God's presence and blessing, while living inconsistently.
And that's what we call
hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy, right? It's claiming to be one thing but actually being something else. And to these people, Stephanie, you want to comment before we go to Micah 6?
Well, I was just thinking, keeping in mind that he is in communion with God to know what, you know, he is a prophet for God. So, Lord, how do I, you know, God, how do I present this to the people?
And in chapter 6 and verse 8 is one of the most concise statements, not about everything in life, but particularly about how God wants us to relate to others.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at that, Stephanie, if you would, in Micah 6 and verse 8.
All right, and I'm reading from the King James Version. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God.
Mm-hmm. So who's the man? He's shown you, O man. Who's the man?
Everyone.
People.
Mankind?
Yeah. People. Right? He's shown you, people, what is good and what the Lord
requires
in order to be saved. Is that what it says?
No.
It's just how God wants us to live.
As human beings.
Right? As
human beings.
As his children. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So which of those three impresses you the most? There's three, aren't there?
Yeah.
Two.
Do justly,
love mercy,
and walk humbly.
Yeah. Which one of those impresses you the most, Lisa?
I think they're all related.
And so you don't think we can just choose one?
No, you can't choose one. And I actually understand it in reverse, that if you begin with your relationship with God, if you understand that he is sovereign, he's in control, he has power and authority, humility will come as a result of you knowing who God is. And once you realize that God is all-powerful and you're just a sinner in need of grace, because you need that mercy, it's easy for you to show that mercy because God has shown you that mercy. And then the next step would be to act accordingly, to do right things. And so I see it where it begins with understanding who God is, that humility, receiving the mercy from God and able to give that mercy to people, then walking righteously. So I see that.
What do you think about turning that backwards?
Yeah.
You know, isn't mercy and justice the foundation of his throne?
Yeah. You can't have one without the other.
So if I'm walking humbly with God, I'm going to care about justice and mercy. I'm going to love mercy.
Those two things are in harmony with each other.
They're in harmony with each other. So what do we most need to hear today? What do we most need to hear?
Humility.
Is it to walk humbly with God?
And God cares how we treat people. I mean, he really does care. And if we understood that, we would be more careful in how we speak to other people and how we treat them. Because as Jesus said, when you have treated these people wrongly, you have treated me wrongly. And so when we realize that each person is created in the image of God, that each person, you know, belongs to God and is valuable to God, then that natural respect and reverence, just even for humanity, would be a result of that.
You've challenged me today, Lisa, and I'm going to try to remember this, to turn that backwards, because if I walk humbly with God, I've always gone 1, 2, 3, and I know they're all related, but maybe I need to start by saying, God, I want to walk humbly before you today.
Yes.
And that means I'm going to do justly and love mercy. What a difference that would make. Andre?
Well, it also makes me think, when I hear love mercy, it also makes me think not to besmirch mercy. Because like Jonah, when he went up to that hill, I guess, to watch the destruction of Nineveh, but God was merciful.
Right.
And for a moment there, he got a little upset about that. Mm-hmm. You know, so there are those of us who see people who deserve punishment or otherwise, but loving mercy also says, you know what, even the most wicked who comes to God deserves.
That's right.
Sure. That's true.
Do you remember that the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew has, be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect? You remember that? In Luke's account of the Sermon on the Mount, I was just reminded in Luke chapter 6. Do you want me to read it to you?
Yes.
It just impressed me. Luke 6 verse 36. I think he said both. Neither Matthew nor Luke are recording the teaching of the whole day. One has about 108 verses, I think, The other one has only 30, and some of them are different. Mm-hmm. So, but notice a parallel to be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. In Luke's chapter 6, verse 36, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful.
Amen.
That's who God is. By the way, if he wasn't merciful, we would all be lost.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So when we walk humbly with him, we'll do justly, we'll love mercy, and we need to go to the prophet Isaiah.
Yeah.
Now, I think, Evelyn, you mentioned Isaiah as one of the great prophets. He's also called the gospel prophet. Any of you have a favorite word from the prophet Isaiah?
Love all of it.
John? It has to be in chapter 53 for me.
Okay. Yeah. So that whole thing about being wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities.
Acquainted with grief.
Acquainted with grief. Yeah, like a lamb before his shearers is silent. Yeah. He opened not his mouth. By the way, that is a startling prophecy which has really challenged some who thought Jesus was going to be a military leader that would overthrow the Romans, right? Yeah. Anyone else? Another passage.
Isaiah 43 through 5.
Where it talks about the...
prepare the way of the Lord.
Yes, preparing. And that's speaking about
every
John
mountain,
the Baptist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Isaiah 41:10.
That's one about fear not.
Fear not.
Brian,
I'm
with you. There's a lot of wonderful promises. We're not reading them all now. We're going to go to what he talks about caring for the poor and the needy.
I like parts of Isaiah 58, which we probably won't talk about, but where he talks about your glory, and God's glory will go before you, and you'll be like daylight. And I think there's a lot of beautiful promises.
And chapter 58 also talks about the beauty of the Sabbath, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
Restoration. But let's go. Yes, Stephanie, one more.
I was just thinking Isaiah 65:24.
Which speaks about the new heavens?
It shall come to pass that before you call, I will answer.
Yes.
While you're yet speaking, I will hear.
Beautiful, beautiful. So some of the familiar passages, which I thought you might mention, was come...
Let us reason.
Let us reason together. Which is found in Isaiah chapter 1, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But let's look at the context. Because Isaiah as a prophet, if he has the heart of God leading him, is going to care about the least of these, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nicole, do you have Isaiah chapter 1? I want you to read verse 18, but first start in verse 16, 17, and 18. Let's look at the context for that well-known passage.
So the New King James Version says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
Now, I have a confession to make. I've read that verse many times, and I didn't know it had anything to do with caring for the widows and the oppressed. Mm. So what might my sins be that I need to ask to be washed away? Though your sins... could be everything, right?
Yeah.
But it could specifically be
neglecting those
in need.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Or oppressing people.
Not standing up for people.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know, probably none of you did that, but I just read verse 18. But when I look at the context, that may be times I need to come back and say, Lord, I don't think I've been caring for those in need the way that your heart would want me to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting, Thomas, you mentioned chapter 58. Let's go there, because one of the best-known portions of Isaiah 58 is verses 13 and 14. And I'm going to have someone read that, and then, Thomas, I'm going to have you read the earlier part, which gives us the context. Patricia, do you have chapter 58, verses 13 and 14? This is perhaps more familiar part of the chapter to some.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It says, if you turn away from your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable,
and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken.
So it's called honor the Sabbath. We like that. By the way, what's the Sabbath for? Why do we have Sabbath?
To honor our Creator, our Redeemer,
our relationship.
To spend time with God, to connect with His heart. Yeah. And he's saying, don't forget the Sabbath. And why might it be important to connect with his heart? Well, a lot of reasons, but let's go back and look at the context of why he says, remember Sabbath.
Can I just add something before I read
that? Sure.
I've heard many people who keep the Sabbath quote that passage and say, see, we're not supposed to do anything and not supposed to have any pleasure. But when you really understand the context of it, he's talking specifically about this, which is verse 6 and 7. This is what you're asking.
Yeah, let's take a look there. And you know, it is important to look at the context, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's see what the prophet says in Isaiah 58, 6 and 7.
Again, this is the New King James. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out, when you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh.
And then read down, if you would, Thomas, in verses 10 through 12.
Sure. If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as a noonday. That's the one I was referring to. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your souls in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail.
You know, that's a beautiful promise, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And the context there is when we take time to connect with God.
Mm-hmm. We'll
Stephanie?
Reach out to others. We will naturally reach out to others.
Yes, we will feel the heart of God to care for those who are in need. We've got one last prophet to look at, the prophet Ezekiel. I guess we should expect some rebuke from him too, right? Or at least a reminder to care for the poor. And Lisa, if you could read from Ezekiel 34, we're just going to look at two passages in this last prophet. Verses 2 to 4 is a rebuke, and then verses 11 to 15 I'll have someone else read as a word of hope. And there's always hope. In fact, if there was no hope, God wouldn't send the prophet at all.
That's right.
The call to come back to the heart of God. Let's look first at Ezekiel 34, verses 2 to 4.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them.
Instead of caring for the flock, what are the shepherds doing?
Scatter.
Driving them away.
Yeah. They're eating the flock. Aren't they?
Yeah.
They're eating the flock that they should be caring for.
Yeah.
You say, oh man, that's depressing. Because it could happen even today.
Of course.
That instead of seeking the well-being of people, we exploit them.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we need a word of hope, Addison. Verses 11 to 15 of the same chapter. I'm so thankful for the true shepherd.
Amen.
What the New Testament would call the good shepherd, right? Amen. And we know the good shepherd is Jesus. Amen. But here God says, I'm going to care for my flock. Let's look at verses 11 through 15 of Ezekiel 34.
I'm reading from the King James Version. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land, and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God.
Amen? Amen. Does that sound like a famous scripture song, by the way?
Yeah.
Which one?
23.
Psalm 23, yes. Right? Where the psalmist says, by the way, he's writing that before the prophet speaking here, right? Because this is Ezekiel 6th century B.C. It's 1000 B.C. that David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I what?
I shall not want.
So what's the message here from the prophet Ezekiel for us? If the Lord says, I'm going to care for my flock, what's the message?
We should do the same.
We should do the same thing, mm-hmm. Stephanie. Thank you. He's not sitting there disinterested. Mm-hmm. He's saying, I'm going to care for my flock. Will you join me in caring for my flock? Mm-hmm. Will you reveal the immeasurable and unfailing love of God? Mm-hmm. Will you protect my flock, even at personal cost? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Will you sacrifice, like in the story of the one lost sheep, to care for my flock?
Well,
that's a challenge, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When some of the over shepherds are eating the flock, will you care for my sheep? Do you feel the heart of God? To care for my sheep and not exploit them.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And they're all my children. And I love them all. Amen. And that's the challenge. My heart is touched. That's the challenge, that we don't exploit the flock, but we care for even the lambs and the aged ones that maybe need a little help.
Amen.
Because they're all precious to God. He says, they're my flock. I want to care for them. What a privilege we have to be part of His caring, even to the least of these. Amen. That's the mission Jesus has given to us. Would you join with me in prayer that we'll be faithful in that mission for the honor of His name and the blessing of His children? Father in heaven, our hearts are touched as we see how much You care for the flock, because we're Your flock. You care for us, and You ask us to extend that loving care to those around us. And I pray by a miracle of Your grace it could happen, that we would not exploit others, but we would serve with the love of Jesus in our hearts, is our prayer. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. I'm challenged. I'm so glad we're not trying to earn the love of God. We serve because He loves us. Go out and share that beautiful love with those around you.